from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is your home for the college football playoffs. WMVP Chicago. This is ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Carmen and Yurko.
Okay, you know what? If you're going to twist my nipples, you can go.
And I kind of blew, though, Carmen's and then now you're going to bring that back, aren't you?
Waddle and Sylvie.
You know how a man's hands, how deep they get?
This is Crosstalk with Carmen, Waddle, Sylvie, and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Randy Merkin, our executive producer, Chris Black, our associate producer, Jeffrey Montaz-Doka from Chicago. Is the winner of the Joe Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend. The two-game winning streak for Derrick Henry is over, but he could have won it again.
Yeah, he could have.
Patrick Mahomes was our guy this weekend.
And Kelsey was the other nominee.
Some good choices.
He had to remove himself from the game for a while with a hamstring.
Yeah, a little hammy. He had to tell Andy Reid, he goes, I'm good, coach. Put me back in.
I'm ready to play. Well, maybe they did some quick platelet spinning in that blue tent.
He just dominated.
You never know. Healed them up right away.
I don't know, but that was some kind of performance.
That was pretty wild.
Waddle and Sylvie are here. Guys, we got a lot to talk about.
MLB
stuff.
The old sports-a-roo and a championship game yesterday and Saturday. Yes!
There's a lot, guys.
There's a ton. Then you got suspensions in baseball. You got all types of things,
How would you feel like if you came back, as I was hearing you, I mean, listen, what is it called when you take the title away or whatever?
You vacate the title. That's
meaningless to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you, like you as a Sox fan going back when they won the World Series and you as a Cubs fan going back when they won the World Series, how would you feel?
Good question.
Put yourself in the shoes of the Astros fans at this point.
It's a good question,
If your World Series was won by your favorite team, how deluded of an experience would it be for you?
First of all, I believe as a baseball fan that there are players on every team every year cheating.
I agree with that.
Or at least trying, right?
No, they're cheating. Come on now. You don't believe that guys are ahead of the testing?
I do. Totally.
Y'all do.
I think they're doing it in the NFL as well.
In some sort of a way. We don't even look down on it that much in the NFL.
I do.
So, I mean, but this is pretty pronounced. I still have those moments. You can't take those moments away from me.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying, conversely,
I have no problem with the Cubs winning the World Series. If it came out today that they were cheating and Theo and Jed and McLeod were all suspended and Joe Madden went, okay.
So you're saying Astros fans shouldn't feel bad about the World Series?
Not at all. They should just sit and celebrate what they had, celebrate their level of exceptionalism that they've had over the course of time. And they still got a pretty damn good baseball team right now.
I'm not asking it in an accusatory fashion. I'm just telling you. Like, my baseball team hasn't won anything for decades.
You kind of hope they'd cheat, you know?
Exactly.
They're going to be good, though, this year.
I think they will be.
Now, let me ask you the other question. If you're a Dodger fan, how mad are you?
They're upset.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah. They're upset.
You lost to the Astros, you lost to the Red Sox.
Probably upset because they live in Los Angeles, too, but that's besides the point.
You're not an L.A.
fan,
are you?
That could be.
No, I like Santa Monica.
That's kind of an offshoot.
Yeah,
that's L.A.
Yeah, it's suburban L.A.
No, it's L.A. I mean,
it's like saying, hey, I don't like Chicago, but I kind of like it, you know, in Deerfield.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I think Santa Monica is even more.
Santa Monica is L.A. It's right there, yes.
What about Malibu? How about Santa Barbara?
That's where Aaron Rodgers and Danica are going to be living, in Malibu. $28 million.
Not bad.
Boy, the old Aaron Rodgers showed up last night, especially in crunch time.
On third down?
Ooh, that throw was delightful.
Third and eight and third and nine.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the line was not aligned with the sticks? The first down line was not allowed.
Are you talking about the Jimmy Graham play?
The Jimmy Graham play.
I noticed that.
I mean, it's like, come on, guys.
But it's not, they tell you all along that it's not like the official
line. But everybody is, and there's something out today that shows, like, the line going across, then where Jimmy Graham is, they put a circle, like, indented. So
yeah, but the yellow,
like
but the yellow line is not. Exactly.
It's not official.
Right.
Yes.
His elbow hit before the first down.
I'm pretty certain about that.
You think he was short?
I think he was short, yeah.
I also think the Packers think the got screwed the on the fumble earlier in the game. It seemed like that recovery was pretty certain.
I agree with that, too. Yeah. Maybe it evened itself out. Albert Riveron, this guy, anytime
they go to him, I'm just like, stop.
Yeah, I thought the Packers should have had the ball.
I did, too.
On that one. They're saying, there's not a clear recovery. I'm not so sure about that.
I tell you what, those two guys are two of the, and I think when it all said and done, Rodgers is there. I think Russell Wilson's going to be a top 10 quarterback by the time he finishes.
He's
now,
great.
You know, as time goes on, maybe he'll be replaced by someone on this list. But when Russell Wilson decides to retire,
we should figure out who one of these days this week, like who's in the 10 who's right now, and is he better than that guy? Because like, he's not better than Marino.
No.
I mean, so I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be top.
What's the word I'm looking for? Hold on. His greatest gift in that game was his ability to survive.
No doubt.
That's always it. Like he's
ability to survive. That's him.
But you know what? For him to have Russell the touchdown Wilson, to interception ratio, right, being one of those guys that's constantly running for
top
his life.
10 of all time?
I'm saying to you, when he gets by the time he's retired,
right,
I think it's a legit possibility.
He's really good. And don't forget, he was in the MVP conversation for a big chunk of the season before Lamar Jackson decided
to go
crazy.
But top 10 is really, I mean.
He's got how many good years left in him?
At least six.
Five or six, yeah.
So I'm saying by the time we get there.
He's been
2030.
Been to two Super Bowls already.
He's 31. Yeah. He's 31.
That's what I've asked. I mean, we've gone through
born
this before.
Cincinnati.
As a Bears fan, I don't care if I get a Brady or Peyton Manning. Give me a Roethlisberger or give me someone like Russell Wilson.
For sure.
You know, someone who's great. May not be the GOAT.
The four quarterbacks you played yesterday, like you're reminded what it can do for your team.
When you
don't have the guy, there are always questions, you know, and it's a reminder that this is what the game can look like. This is what a great quarterback can do to your team. This is they can cover up some of the warts of your team. When that guy can play great, you got a shot.
I think what you see is you also from yesterday's games, you see how much more talent there's around the Chiefs than there for Mahomes than there is the Seahawks. Even the Packers and the Texans. And to still see those other guys play at the level they do is crazy.
Would you fire Bill O'Brien today? They don't even have a GM, so I don't know who would fire him. It'd have to be the owner. But can you believe the excuse that he said on fourth and short that if they didn't have a play? They didn't have a play? He's an offensive guru, supposedly.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. And your best bet is a fake?
Wouldn't
you rather have your best player make something happen if you were trying to?
This is when they kicked the field goal, when it was fourth and short.
About that one. I got you.
When they could have gone for it instead of making it 24-0 to score a touchdown and to step on their throat. Yeah. He said, and he even said to the media that it was a good question because I think he knows he screwed this up.
Yeah, how do you
to settle for the field goal? Bill O'Brien said, I don't have a play. I didn't have a play.
Doesn't every offensive coordinator have a play?
I thought I had a first down there, and when I didn't, I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time. So I felt like it was better to kick the three, but that's, very fair question.
How could you admit
that? I felt like it was just better to kick the field goal.
That's a bad answer.
At least he's being honest, but if I'm the general manager, the owner,
how do you not have a good play?
If you're asking, should I fire him today? I mean, how do you not?
Like the debate is, would you hire a guy like Josh McDaniels and fire Billy O'Brien?
I've got six plays, and I'm not even thinking about coaching.
Yeah.
I've got six plays I can run in that situation.
Like, doesn't the card always have a short yardage? Like,
so well,
short
not only that,
and
but
I get it, you're down near the goal line, so maybe that's what he more specifically meant.
Well,
where were they?
I thought the
red zone.
They were in the red zone, but they weren't. I mean,
sometimes in the red zone it gets
shorter.
The field
is shorter, but they weren't at the goal line. It was red zone situation.
Doesn't every coach on his card have?
I would think too, because you called the timeout, you had time to collect yourself and then come up with a play.
Yes,
I thought.
Bill O'Brien's been fired.
That's baseball music, guys.
Two notes.
Crane is doing his press conference right now, the owner of the Astros, and he has just fired Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch.
Wow. That's huge news.
Wow.
Did you see what, the commissioner said, Manfred said, about their culture? How it's one of the worst in baseball.
Well, look at all the PR hits I had mentioned the Astros.
He said, that's what he alluded to. He said, from an analytical standpoint, their front office has operated well ahead of the curve. But from a culture standpoint, with the way they treat people.
Well, the assistant general manager launched a while ago.
Yeah, and he's part of this, too. He's been suspended a year.
Him in that letter on page 8, the number 3 is
Brandon
that guy.
Talman. Right. He's been suspended a year. He can't work for any team.
Until after the World Series.
Wow, they fired Hinch and they fired Luhnow.
Wow. What a crazy.
What are you coming next day? Coming to a baseball team near you, Boston.
You want a dark cloud? You want a dark cloud hanging over a franchise going into spring training? You're a player. You guys are very successful. You got great Correa. You got great players on your team.
Springer, Altuve.
Yes. I mean, what do you Verlander. Feel like going into camp now? Don't you feel like a dog poopy?
Do they get gobbled up quickly? Well, they can't, obviously,
for a year. No,
here's
what I would do. You know the first thing I thought of?
What?
Is if Ricky Renteria doesn't get the most out of this team this year.
Next year.
Just like the Cubs had a fallback with Joe Maddon, why wouldn't you have the guy who oversaw the rebuild as their manager?
It's a little stinky, boys.
A.J. Hinch still is a good manager. I mean,
that stench is going to travel with him for a little bit.
I don't disagree, yeah. But could you have to, like, could White Sox fans live with that a year from now if Ricky doesn't get the most out of these guys?
How many cheaters, Yurk, have we, like, said, hey,
yeah,
we can say, him.
Yeah, you definitely give him a second chance.
I think
give him a second chance.
Look at Belichick. I mean, would you take Belichick as coach?
Yeah, you definitely give him a second
chance. Player-wise, certainly, 100%.
What would you, I mean?
I would take that.
Look at Belichick.
Well, it just depends what you
it's
want to represent
cheating,
your organization.
It's not cheating, Carm. That's just using good strategy.
This is huge.
This
is huge. Jim Crane, not messing around. That's it. You're both
He's messed around a little bit.
Well,
you know what I mean? He's more been a reactor than being proactive.
Wow. What do you think is Alex Cora is going to get?
And I was debating this with Meller. I suggested that because Alex Cora was a member of this team, and then he possibly did it as the manager of the Red Sox, does he get more?
He gets the Vrabel. He gets the Vrabel treatment. Yeah. Yes,
he gets the
remove his thing.
Yeah. Meller thought that you can't get more than a year.
Oh, no. Really?
Why? I didn't say he couldn't. I don't think he will. I think it'll
fire. Will they fire him?
Well, that's a different conversation.
Now the $5 million fine. The $5 million fine, I come to find out, is the maximum allowed under the Major League Baseball Constitution.
Yeah, it's. There are limits to what you can find.
Yeah, we said you should have found $50 million. I mean,
yeah, you can't.
Why I mean, not? It's nothing for them.
You know, it's
$5 million.
There are some rules in life.
Well, what about collectively finding them? How about just not giving them part of their whatchamacallit? That's not really a fine.
Right. Yeah.
It's just
revenue sharing.
You don't participate next year in revenue sharing. Not a fine. Right. Just a non-participatory agreement. Right.
Holy cow! This whole thing has gone nuts.
You know what though? I think it's just. I really do. Like, I know there are some people out there that say, well, you know what? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I think once you use technology, you've crossed the line.
Is this the first time baseball has taken away from the NFL headlines?
Yes.
And is
in
it
a long time.
Is it a good thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they win the college football championship, too.
Yeah, this story will be drowned out over the next few days by football.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I can't remember the last time I interrupted an NFL Monday during the playoffs to talk about baseball, even in a negative light, but who cares?
Yeah, but I thought Zetterman brought up a good point a couple days ago.
First
I know,
time.
Isn't that
there
rare?
We go. It's the first time.
That he was talking about, again, like, I truly believe Rob Manfred or someone within their organization gave the high sign with the baseballs. Guys, we're struggling to create runs, to create excitement.
Let's juice these balls,
let's bring in the juiced balls.
But is a juiced ball cheating? Because the whole league
The whole league is standard.
Ball.
It's the standard juiced ball.
It's still
fakeness. It's cheating the game.
It's cheating the game. It's cheating your past records. It's cheating your pitching.
Artificial heightening of the
ball. You're right about that, but it's the same. It's the same, dynamic for everybody.
But wait,
it's still artificial padding.
But what are you going to do? You're going to suspend the commissioner?
Wait a minute.
What if you're a team not built on the long ball? You're a team that's built to play a little bit of small ball, to get guys on base, to take walks,
hit the ball. Couldn't baseball just chalk it up to technology has improved and the ball's made better?
They definitely got covered.
We already know what they did. They transferred the production plants from Major League Baseball. The specifications are the same. They just got built a different way.
Isn't this more a conversation for if you're a baseball fan, how do you feel about it? Because I'm with you, Carm. I don't think it changes the dynamic of the competition or
But my point is, it's always baseball. Whether it's the great home run chase and they turn their back, and now we have castrated every major league player who hit home runs in that era, and we don't treat them right. But baseball stood by there. This has been baseball throughout the years. And they have been in on it. And now when another team decides to take advantage of the looseness, now they're crushed. And I'm not saying it's wrong to crush the Astros. I'm just saying I don't trust baseball either.
Well, this isn't a looseness, though, either. Baseball, Manfred was releasing memorandums to teams in 2 weeks before the playoffs started in 2017, and the Astros chose to ignore it.
Right.
I mean, like, so this is a deliberate attempt to try to beat the system and do something that they knew you weren't supposed to do. So I don't think it's the same as juicing up the ball. But, you know, everybody gets to use that
ball. But it's
still
not real, Carm. That's not real.
It's artificial.
That's not authentic. And I truly, you cannot convince me that if Rob Manfred stood here and he would tell me this, that, you couldn't convince me.
He couldn't look you in the eye, though. He wouldn't. He'd be looking away when he'd say it.
That I truly believe that baseball was in on the juiced ball.
Yeah, it seems they're definitely hypocritical, but as a fan, like I don't look at Bonds or Sosa or Maguire really any differently. Like, I don't penalize them in my own baseball brain. No. The Major League Baseball does, and I think that's stupid. There's hypocrisy attached to
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. It's always the how dare you? They knew what was going on with Jose Canseco. He told everybody.
Yes, he did.
They knew what was going on with Sosa and Maguire, and they loved it. And now, how dare you? We will never let you into our Hall of Fame. And then, hey, look, we got these balls. It's going to make more excitement. Oh, how dare you, Astros, that you use technology?
All right. Actually speaking, I got to clean up something from before. We talked about the kid that played for Jackie Robinson, mm-hmm. part of the cheating scandal that they had there that the adults committed.
Yeah.
The kid's name's Ed Howard.
Ed Howard.
He's committed to Oklahoma. He's the shortstop for Mount Carmel. That was the star shortstop on that team.
But he's going to be a draft pick in June?
He's the number one player coming out in this year's baseball draft.
Isn't that the most penalizing part of this penalty is the draft pick?
Yeah, you're saying, well, they're picking at the end of the round, but still. You don't want to lose two first-round picks in two seconds.
But you got 37 rounds in baseball, and you find players in a bunch of different positions in baseball.
Did they also?
It's important because when you look at it, and they go, oh, man, they took their first two draft picks away in two straight years. It does have an impact.
It does.
People look at it and they say, yes, look at the impact. Wow. But they're going to have a lot of rounds.
Is there any free agency stuff attached to it, too? No?
No, not that I saw. It was just defined.
Who gets hired to clean the place up?
That's a good question.
The other thing. Yeah. Who gets hired to clean the place up?
Who do you turn to now?
Well, Thea's up in 2 years.
Oh, interesting, Sylvie.
2 years, but they got to start cleaning it up now.
True.
This is the guy that's going to be responsible for the two toughest year that the Houston Astros are going to have.
I know. I mean, like, you know, spring training starts in a month, right? Mm-hmm. Pitchers and catchers go in a month.
Get your season tickets, Astros fans.
They're still good, though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they also, in that report, say lower-level employees that were involved in this, the Houston Astros are going to be responsible for disciplining those employees.
The guys from the video room
room that were providing that. The guys that...
The guy banging
The guy that first...
The trash can lids.
The guy that first put the monitor there because they asked for it, Carlos Beltran said it was there. Then they removed it. Then they had a portable. Is it the guy that provided the portable machinery to allow that thing to get moved out quickly in case somebody was complaining?
Seriously,
do you blame? At what point do you blame? At some point, the guy's just taking orders.
Right.
You know, at some
point,
what does
the trash can banging guy do? I mean, does he come clean now? Like,
no, he's not
gonna
come clean.
Who's in charge of the symbols?
I don't think he comes clean himself.
But it doesn't matter because the players have been exonerated by the commissioner because he said the people that are going to pay if the players were cheating, the people that pay are the general manager.
I don't doubt.
And the manager. They're going to pay because they haven't told them the rules and what you should and should not do.
Well, plus, I don't think the players are the ones instituting the technology they're the direct beneficiaries, but...
Well, it sounds like Carlos Beltran had some ideas, according to the report.
Well, listen, Carlos Beltran probably took a look at the whole project.
He's a smart guy, and he said, we can improve on it.
If we're going to do this, let's do it right.
That's what the report says, that 2 months in, he goes, we can make this better.
How many teams, so the Red Sox are going to get something, the Astros got something, but as we know with steroids and cheating in general, there aren't just two.
I bet a lot of teams
How many teams are...
I bet a lot.
Well, now the teams that get busted are going to point the fingers at others, too, because they don't want to be the only ones being disciplined for something that other teams may be a part of. So you may get some rats.
Well, wasn't that how this story got... Yeah.
Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came out in an article with The Athletic, right?
Yes, with The Athletic.
And he was talking about it.
I wonder what precipitated that. Like, what made him, you know, what made him fire on the guys like that?
I don't know.
Funny.
Or at least share those stories. Yeah.
I wonder why.
He talked about it. He addressed just the fact that he didn't feel great about doing it as the process was happening because he felt like it was cheating. Against the rules. And in some ways, he wasn't there very long when they were doing it.
That's true.
So, like, he was in and out and playing for different teams.
Wow. Do you know who's the happiest about this story coming out? Mitch, Matt, and Ryan are the happiest guys on the planet right now here in Chicago that this story's come out.
Did you call him Mitch Matt Ryan?
No, I said the three of them, Mitch, Matt, and Ryan.
I thought you were calling him Mitch, Matt, Ryan.
I was thinking, was this a Matt Ryan reference?
No, Mitch,
Ice?
Mitch, Matt, and Ryan.
Oh, you renamed
they're already Mitch calling people, calling, more baseball, more baseball.
More baseball.
What do you think Ryan Pace was doing during that game yesterday?
That's what. That's $1 million question.
Was he watching?
I heard the Chicago Bears called up earlier, and they want to pay like $1 million to advertise baseball now.
That's my point.
Nothing for football, nothing for the Bears, nothing for Bourbon A. Just simply, let's talk baseball.
Yeah. Chicago Bears football, 70 days till spring training.
Was he watching Mahomes and Watson combine for 8 touchdowns?
He had a hurricane. Like, did you hear Jordan Cornette saw them yesterday? In New Orleans, it was Pace, it was Nagy, and it was, of course, Mickey Loomis, Pace's old boss with the Saints. He thinks everything's going to be New Orleans here. And he was probably three hurricanes in watching that game.
I mean, was he watching it? Does he?
I don't know. I don't know.
You have to watch it, don't you?
I don't know.
That's nightmare fuel if you're him. Nightmare fuel. Just nightmare fuel.
He's got to sit there and go, geez, I really screwed this up. I mean,
I don't give a rat's ass what all of the supporters are saying right now. Stop talking about it. Get over it. Okay, for the most part, I'm over it, but I can acknowledge when really good young players are doing their thing on the playoff stage.
When I played, I hate watching NFL on TV. I hate watching games on TV because you got used to the looks that we got looking at it. Yeah. We had the intercut. First you get the wide angle, then you get the inside angle. And when we watched it, it was always inside angle. When we watched it with the defense, we got both angles. So watching just the end zone copy, for me, was perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to watch. So watching on television stunk.
Drove you nuts.
Then you had somebody talking all the time, which drove you even further nuts. So.
All right, boys, what's on the show?
Well, I mean, if you want to react to the major story that has developed in the last hour, so...
Don't let it bury football, though.
No, guys. No, believe me, because we're juiced up about football. We've got plenty on the national championship game. And
okay, Jose Canseco, you're all juiced up.
And the four playoff games. Adam Amin, by the way, a part of ESPN's broadcast on the multicast.
Yes.
He's going to join us at 4. But if you have a reaction to the baseball story, so not only did A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow, the general manager of the Astros, get suspended for a year, but they have now been fired by the Astros. Wow. So if you want to react to this, like, how do you feel about this? And how do you feel about a World Series that happened under this, while this was going on, 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6. But yes, lots on football. And Waddle, and I don't believe he teased us, he hasn't told us, that it's not all about Mahomes, but watching that game yesterday, Waddle has felt worse about the Bears' direction with Nagy going forward.
Uh-oh.
That's so he'll tell us about that coming up next.
It's a tease. All right, Waddle and Sylvia are next. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll recap it tomorrow. See you then on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
They'll go deep, wide open to Stills, and no one near him for a Houston touchdown on the opening drive. Three and out. Colquitt is blocked, and it's picked up by the Texans to run it in for the touchdown. It's Lonnie Johnson. With the recovery up the ramp, he goes. And the Texans stunning everyone here in Kansas City in the opening minutes.
Big hang time.
Ball is fumbled by Hill.
Out of the gun on second and goal. Across the middle. It is caught by Fells for the touchdown. Pass caught on the run for the touchdown. Damian Williams. Flings it. Caught. Touchdown, Kelce. Ball's out and it's picked up in the air. Is picked up in the air and run all the way back by Darwin Thompson inside the 10. Mahomes to Kelce and another touchdown for Kansas City. Here's Mahomes looking open field for a moment. He may have been past the line of scrimmage. It's called a touchdown. Williams drives it in for the touchdown. Sits out this one. First and goal, Williams. He's in. Touchdown, Kansas City. 6-for-6. Mahomes with a touchdown pass to Blake Bell. He didn't have one all season, but he's got one in the divisional round.
There you go, the highlights on CBS. That was from the Son of a Mitch Bowl, and you can maybe dub it the Choke Bowl if you're a Texans fan. Wayne Dre's also had a really good tweet. How about the last 24 hours of the news cycle in Houston, where you had the Texans blow the 24-0 lead at Kansas City, and now we've got the breaking news that A.J. Hinch suspended for a year, Jeffrey Luhnow, their general manager, suspended for a year, and oh, no, he's not their general manager, and A.J. Hinch is not their manager because they've been fired.
Not a good day to be a Houston sports fan, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, so if you look, if you want to weigh in on the baseball happenings, the Astros have been docked a first and a second round draft pick, too. They've been fined the maximum $5 million. Their general manager and manager were suspended for a year and now fired by their owner.
Oops.
It's an open invitation, but you know, today's a football Monday for
it
us,
is.
Too. I mean, we had four pretty good games again this weekend. The first 2 weeks of the NFL playoffs have been outstanding. And, of course, tonight, right here on ESPN 1000, we've got the national championship game. And this should be equally as delicious with the quarterback play. Two great teams, LSU and Clemson. And I can't wait to watch three. I mean, this will be the third great day just being in front of your television enjoying all the football.
I'm expecting this one to be the most dramatic, the most drama-filled. Because if you look, and it was all good this weekend. I mean, the 49ers absolutely manhandled the Vikings. The Titans did a fantastic job handling the Ravens. The Ravens made it interesting at the end.
But wasn't that full of drama
it
from
was.
The aspect that you turned that game on, expecting to see the Lamar Jackson show, and it was, of course, the Titans show, both running Derrick Henry again, and then, you know, Tannehill, after we counted him out last week, he was making some throws.
Yeah.
He looked like an all-pro.
I think that, I mean, the scores really didn't tell the full, I mean, drama of the situations. Like, obviously, the Chiefs end up winning by 20, but there was plenty of drama in that game. In the Packers game, the score feels a little bit tighter than the game, but that game was still in the balance late, even though the Packers had dominated 21-3 at the very beginning. So, yeah, the scores don't really speak to the drama that we saw maybe in the first round in the wild card games. But there was something for everyone in all of these games.
Yeah, because Saturday night when I was getting settled, it was like, oh, crap. Are you kidding me? The Ravens are going to get beat? Oh, no, they're going to come back. And then something else would happen. And you're like, oh, my. Like, so even though that wasn't close in the beginning, I couldn't believe what was happening in front of us.
The funny thing is you see two teams built differently. And, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. So you can't get to all of it in the first segment of the show, but the Ravens aren't built to come from behind right now. Now, they're a high-scoring offense, but they're really not. They're a control-the-entire-pace of the game type of team, whereas the Chiefs are obviously built to come, they're totally built to come from behind, which is why I said to you guys when I came in today, not to veer into the lane, but like watching the Chiefs beat the Houston Texans yesterday was glorious to watch. But it left me a little bit more concerned with the Bears going forward than when the game kicked off. And it wasn't Mahomes. That situation is what it is. They got the better quarterback. Both teams got the better quarterback. Fine. But when I watch the Kansas City Chiefs, what you see is a team that is totally built on the big play. Built on big chunk plays to drive their offense, and it all comes through the air. And they really don't have an appetite for running the football. Now, it works for them, right? Because of all of the weapons they have. You got to have the trigger guy to start with,
right,
with Mahomes. But then you surround him with Kelce, and you surround him with Tyreek Hill and a bunch of other receivers, Sammy Watkins and others, that can fly down the field. They're not interested in running the football because it's not who they are. And to back that up, I went and looked at the stats this morning. The Chiefs were 23rd in rushing yards per game this year with 98. They were 27th in rushing attempts this year. They run it 23 times per game, and only five teams run it fewer per game than they do. And those teams are the Chargers, the Falcons, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. What do those five teams have in common? They stink, and they're all playing from behind. They're not like the Chiefs. The Chiefs are always ahead or usually ahead, and they're still not running the football. And I know what you're asking, or you're thinking there, well, what the hell does that have to do with the Bears? Well, when you watch the Chiefs and you know that they have no interest in running the football, and it works for them because of how they're built and the people they have at the controls. And then you look at our team, and you know that Matt wants to do the same thing here that they do in Kansas City, and it's been on full display. Like, you ask yourself, and I ask myself, and we all ask ourselves, why do you come out of the bye against the the New Orleans Saints, and you run it seven times? You know why? Because these Bears, in Matt's mind, are going to be like those Chiefs. Like, I don't think Matt has a huge appetite for running the football either. Not because he's a bad coach, but because he's trying to take what he learned from the Chiefs and bring it to Chicago. Why did they keep throwing the ball and throwing the ball and throwing the ball and not focus on running the football? Because that's who they are. That's what his offense is. So I'm watching the Chiefs and I'm saying, well, that's what Matt and the Bears want to be. Well, what's the biggest difference? They don't have the same personnel.
Well, everything's the biggest difference. The quarterback, the line, and the weapons.
That's right. So,
and you're not Andy Reid, by the way.
Right. So I'm asking myself, what is your path to better? Because if you look at what the Chiefs are doing, and they're doing it at an exceptionally high level, and you're trying to recreate that here in Chicago, but you're trying to do it with the personnel that you have, does it get appreciably better?
No, and the answer is no, and that's why I've been so down and naggy.
Okay, so then the alternative is you got to run the football, right? They're not built to run the football, and the head coach doesn't want to run the football. So you're either going to do one of two things going forward. You're going to shift and change the way you've built your team a little bit and realize that you can't do what Kansas City does because Kansas City's got pieces that are better than yours. So you're going to have to adjust your mentality. I can't play Kansas City's game. I don't have Kansas City's pieces. Or you maintain your philosophy that I'm going to run my offense like Kansas City. I'm just going to get better pieces. You know what? That's a conundrum for me.
Well, as a fan. I think you, Waddle, I think you always run what's best for your roster.
Did they do that this year?
No, and that's why I'm so down on him. He had that one quote in the middle of the year where he said, they didn't hire me to run out of the eye.
That's right.
No, they hired you to win games. And that's the whole debate that we keep having about, well, you didn't hire him to not call plays. Well, if I'm Ryan Pace, I hired him to win games. And however he does that, because you don't have your personnel is closer to Tennessee's than it is Kansas City. So your quarterback needs to run. He needs the support of a run game. And then he can make some flash plays maybe here and there.
But your problem is your offensive line is not built like Tennessee's. Tennessee's got two first-round picks at tackle. They've got a third-round pick or I think a fourth-round pick at center, and you spent money on a guard. You brought him in from the Rams. This team in Tennessee has been built like this. The Bears don't have that up front.
But they also have had flashes, the Bears, where they did run out of the eye, and it was their best drive of the game. And then the next game, he abandons it. So I understand they're not like Tennessee. But if it's working, why are you trying to be the Kansas City Chiefs when you have one good wide receiver?
And this is why I come away from that game and I'm more concerned now than I was before the game kicked off. Because I don't know what they're going to do. Are you going to continue to say to yourself, well, I'm running my system and my system came from Kansas City and guys are just going to have to pick it up. And maybe we'll go out and get a few pieces, but we're going to run the Kansas City offense because that's what I came here to do. Or are you going to have a deep, thorough conversation with yourself and say, hey, listen, I don't have what Kansas City has, so I'm going to have to adjust my style. And the point I'm making is that I didn't see a lot of that this year. Did you? That they compromised their initial plan and made the adjustments to not having the high-flying personnel. So where are you going from here? Are you going to now focus because Mitch is limited? And you don't have the weapons that Kansas City had. So how are you going to fix this situation going forward? You're in a bit of a conundrum here because Matt has shown you he's stubborn with regard to his mentality and his approach. I mean, that's why they throw it all the time. That's why they continue to throw it when you and I look at each other watching the game and go, why the hell are you throwing it? Your quarterback can't do what that guy does. Run the ball. And then do you say to yourself, well, we're going to be more of a running team, but your offensive line isn't built that way. So what do you do going forward now?
It's why I've never liked the copycat game. I remember covering the Bears back in the mid-90s, and Wani was the coach. And all Wani said was, oh, what we did in Dallas.
Right.
This is what Jimmy used to do in Dallas. And this is the way we're going to. Dude, you're not Jimmy. These Bears out here in the mid-90s, Carl Reaves ain't somebody on
the Dallas
correct. Cowboys. Yeah. And he kept wanting to be the Cowboys. And we've had that. And Ryan Pace wants to be Mickey Loomis in the States. You don't have Drew Brees. And Matt Nagy wants to be Andy Reid. Instead of being your own guy, like I always wanted to say to Wani, stop trying to be Jimmy and be your own thing. Do your own stuff. I get it. You're always sort of, you always have your mentor. But then you've got to sort of become your own guy, take some of the things that worked and become your own guy. And I think that Nagy is trying to be too Andy Reid, too Chiefs, and he doesn't have anything that they have. And we've identified that.
Well, that's my point is now you're putting your eggs in the basket of he can change. And my statement to you is I don't think that's in his DNA. I believe they feel like Matt feels that that's the offense he wants to run. And guys are just going to have to get up to speed with it. And what we'll do is we'll continue to upgrade our talent. But that's the offense you saw. That's the offense we're going to run. You don't have the talent to do it.
No, that's a fair point. But you also have to wonder, look, what else does Matt Nagy know? He's only ever been under Andy Reid for the most
part. From Philadelphia to Kansas City.
Like what, as you said that, Waddle, what I was thinking about was the soundbite that I heard Kyle Shanahan talk about last week. He talked about how when he first got into coaching, I may mix up the order, but the first two coaches he had were John Gruden and Gary Kubiak. And he talked about how one guy had like an infinite amount of plays, that being John Gruden, and how he had different things off of everybody, off of every play. He also talked about how Gary Kubiak basically had five plays that he would run to death over and over effectively.
Yeah.
And he talked about how as he was learning, he realized you could do it multiple different ways, and the key was to take pieces from each guy and understand how to do it well and then make it your own.
Yeah.
And what do we say on the show week after week about Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, he's dynamic with his game planning, well, his play
and
calling.
Then you saw the example. Jimmy Garoppolo throws a pick, and you were texting us how many straight runs did he have?
That's great coaching because you could tell that the coach knew that the quarterback wasn't on his game.
Right.
So what he did was he took the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
So he was adjusting based on what he had that
absolutely
day.
Absolutely. No
Instead
question.
Instead of just saying, well, this is what we do. This is, quote, what we do.
And well, but they're a balanced attack to begin with. They're not like, if you go and look at the San Francisco stats, they're balanced. The Kansas City Chiefs, 23 rushing attempts per game. They don't care about running the football. It's not who they are. They've got an identity crisis here in Chicago.
Right. And Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are together at the national championship game tonight in New Orleans. The phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. So a couple of things about the weekend in football. What was like the biggest takeaway that you had? What did you sit with your friends, whether you were with a group of people? And what impressed you the most? And was it Derrick Henry? Was it Ryan Tannehill? Was it what they did to the Ravens? Was it just San Francisco's good all-around attack? And when Kirk Cousins doesn't have a leader, he's not in the game, he can't do much. Was it the Chiefs coming from 24-0? Was it Aaron Rodgers with a couple of those throws looking like prime-time Aaron Rodgers again? What was the thing? Or did you weave something back like Waddle did to our Bears? You watch the playoff teams and you say, oh, our Bears, and then you just sort of get depressed. So what was the one thing that impressed you or that you're talking about with your buddies the most, whether it's through text or tweets or in person? 332-3776. We also have the big story with the big suspensions, then firings from the Houston Astros. Their manager and GM AJ Hinch and Jeffrey Lunau were suspended for a year, and they'll remain suspended for a year, but they are fired. The Astros fired him in the cheating scandal, and the Cubs, believe it or not, distancing themselves from someone on the 2017 Astros. Mm-hmm. Talk about that next, and we'll take your football calls coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
How good does it feel, Travis, when you feel like you've let your quarterback down to some degree in the first half and then everybody sort of rises with him to get seven straight touchdowns?
Pat Mahomes, man. Best quarterback in the National Football League. And he'll prove it again next week.
Travis Kelce right there. Chiefs come back from 24-0.
Keep an eye on that hamstring of his because it was bothering him in the second half, and you can tell. Again, this offense is very tight end centric. When he's not out there, I don't think it's nearly as potent. So.
Well, that's when, remember, Nagy's last game with the Chiefs is when Kelsey had to leave the game with a concussion.
Right.
And they blew the 18-point lead. The Cubs, not intentionally distancing themselves from the 17 Astros, but Tony Kemp has been traded. Tony Kemp, remember little Tony Kemp?
Mm.
He was traded to Oakland. The Cubs got themselves minor league infielder. And so Alfonso Rivas is... in on the Cubs, Tony Kemp traded to Oakland. But the major story is the Astros and those suspensions to A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow. Luhnow's their general manager, or was. A.J. Hinch is their manager, or was. They have been fired by the Astros in the cheating scandal. And now they go to work on the Red Sox, and we'll see what happens there. But we're talking football, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. So when you're with your buddies having a beer, when you're texting your friends like we do, what was like the big thing that caught your eye or ear this weekend? That's what we want to know. Jeff is in Brookfield. Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, I'm watching football with my son, and the one common denominator for every quarterback that played, when the defense jumped off sides, they threw the ball down the field for that big play. Trubisky dumps it off to the side for a 2-yard pass.
We know.
That did happen once or twice. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has been the king of that.
Boy, you saw vintage Aaron Rodgers last night in crunch time, too. That throw that he made to Davante Adams on third down late in the game. I mean, that's – when I think of Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't been as good the last year and a half. He's still been outstanding. But that was a throw from Aaron Rodgers like MVP caliber. I mean, that's just
it was like a video game. The way it was just down the line on like a critical down on third down. And a lot of teams would just say, let's run the ball and let's you make them use another timeout or keep the clock going. And he just was like,
it was beautiful.
I need to ice this right now.
I was thinking when that game was coming to a close that the 49ers are sitting at home in the Bay Area begging for the Packers to hold on. Because I don't believe the Packers' offensive line can hold up against the 49ers' front seven. I think the 49ers will have the same type of success against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers that they had against the Vikings. And Russell Wilson is definitely a harder cover because he can escape all that pressure that they apply.
Can you imagine for Bears fans what it would be like for us with the Packers and the Chiefs playing on Super Bowl Sunday? It would be the first Super Bowl all over. It'd be, you know, having to watch the Packers, your rival, and then having to see Mahomes possibly win his first.
Well, I advertised yesterday as possibly a difficult day for Bears fans, and I know a lot of people bristled at that, but to watch the Texans and the Chiefs do battle and then to watch the Packers advance into the postseason, I still find myself going, how in the hell are the Packers doing this? Because, I mean, they're good. I get it. They're good. They're now, what, 14-3, but... They're not that good, are they?
They have one wide receiver, too.
I know.
That's it. They just throw it to Adams. That's all they do.
Maybe I'm the one that looks at them and is not overly impressed. But we talked to Wildy, who covers the team consistently, and he kind of had the same thought. Like, listen, I appreciate the hell out of what they're doing and respect it. But you don't look at them going, wow, that's a dominant team, and yet they're 14-3 in the NFC title game.
Sam's on the Northwest side. Hey, Sammy, you're on ESPN 1000.
How are you, Sylvie? How are you, Tom?
Good.
Hey, the biggest thing I think that has happened ever since Nagy took the job, it was the hiring of Mark Helfrich. What he did is he took that West Coast offense and he inserted the Oregon run game. And it's really kind of a slow developing, you know, the running back takes actually one or two steps horizontal before he gets the ball. If you look at all the Saints, all the teams left in the playoffs, it's all power running games. Sylvie, when you said about that comment about Nagy said, well, I didn't come here to run the eye. Well, he couldn't throw Helfrich under the bus because he basically inserted the Oregon running game. So when he fired him at the end of the year, I think that was big key. And if you take evidence, just take a look at the Minnesota game. I know the game meant nothing. They come out of the third quarter. They run a power running game from the eye formation and run them more, you know, in tosses. And they ran the ball right down Minnesota's throat, score an easy seven. What did they do? Come out the next possession? They run the Oregon running game, and they go nowhere to the end of the game.
Right.
So I think we need to, Nagy kind of, I think, realizes this. I mean, we were 29th in running. Our tight end production, Burton was 70th. That's the production of a third-string tight end. So before we jump all over Trubisky, If you have no running game, slow developing running game, I mean, the linebackers are not going, you know what I mean? The linebackers are all up front, and it's just not going to work. And that's why if I see that bubble screen, that if I see that next year, I think I'm going to blow my head up. But I think,
don't do that, Sam.
Well, I don't know that I would completely agree that this is the Mark Helfrich Oregon running game. I don't think Matt does anything that he doesn't
want to do. But did you have a text last night or something? I don't even know if you want to say, but didn't Waddle say something like what we said, is Matt Nagy watching this? And then Waddle responded, he's probably out in the back with his kids running a bunch of bubble screens.
That's what we do. We practice the things that we do best. Listen, my point here is just that this team is not built to play the same way that the Chiefs play, right? Can we all agree to that?
Of course.
Because they don't have the talent. Did they still stay kind of stubborn to that approach this past year? What leads you to believe that there's going to be a deviation from that? Are they going to still try to run that offense with inferior talent compared to the Chiefs? Or are they going to make the adjustments? And all of a sudden, for people that want them to just load up and run it like the Titans and Derrick Henry, they're not built that way.
Right, right.
So they're in the middle
but
here.
Yeah, you could run the ball a lot more.
Absolutely. You have to because your quarterback can't do it on his own. But you have to now build your team with that in mind. You can't build this team hoping that you're going to turn into the Chiefs. You got to build this team knowing that you're not the Chiefs, which means Matt's going to have to change the way that he approaches game planning.
Mad Mac and Griffith, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mad Mac.
Hey, we'll see you boys on Friday for sure.
Right. And so look, just for everyone who doesn't know, we're going to be out at the Book at Horseshoe Casino. This is going to be awesome because it's right near downtown, getting your plays for the championship game. And you can put down some Super Bowl bets, too. Everything. Join us on Friday. They're doing it right at the Horseshoe Hammond. So yeah, we'll see you there, Mac.
Bring your bond cards. They make them in handy.
Your bond cards.
So you got, you know what that is. Don't tell me you don't, Darryl Waddle. I guarantee it. Anyway, yeah, they got this.
I got to be honest with you, Mac. I know what it is, but I don't have one.
Situational football. Remember when Nagy said that at a couple press conferences? He doesn't have any idea what that means. Who's the two guys on this weekend that made the greatest adjustments this year? The two guys that fell off Bill Belichick's tree. The guy was Vrabel, the coach of Tennessee, and Garoppolo from San Francisco. Look what they did. They look at the game and go, okay, we're going to see what happens, and we're going to make an adjustment. Your buddy Nagy, he got his playbook off of like Craigslist for like three payments of $29.95, and he can't do anything else. He's stuck.
He's always cracked me up, Mac. Thanks.
Yeah, but Garoppolo's not calling the plays, Mac. I mean,
yeah, Garoppolo didn't adjust.
Yeah, the coach did the smart thing. He took the ball out of his quarterback hands. And listen, Jimmy's still a young quarterback in terms of starts, but he's going to throw it into some spots that make you sweat.
Yeah.
So I've been telling you all year, what this coach does is he tries to mitigate the risk by running the ball and taking some of that risk out of the play calls for Jimmy, because Jimmy will throw it into the other guy's hands.
I want to ask you about a running back that could appeal to Matt Nagy during this offseason. That's next. And was this the worst possible outcome from the son of a Mitch Bowl for Ryan Pace? It's all next.